player contest after rape, our Bison Safari contest you could win. Often.
Also, a healthcare, sustainable healthcare review has to be conducted so that we make the changes that will protect our services but also find the savings, because it's not sustainable the way it is now. We know we can't continue to run deficits that are into the hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars as we've inherited.
That was exactly what was heard last week from Manitoba Premier Brian Pallister, who was on our show. That's him talking about how the Pallister government wants to hear from frontline workers when they conduct, as he said, a review of Manitoba's healthcare system. Now, we thought we would help get this conversation started. So this morning, we're joined by two people who know what it's like to be on the front lines, one from a small clinic, the other from a large hospital setting. Dr. Mike Dillon is medical director at Clinic Community Health and with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Marcy.
And Bob Morose is a radiation therapist with Cancer Care Manitoba and president of the Manitoba Association of Healthcare Professionals. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with you, Mike. We know the system costs a lot of money, to say the least. The budget for healthcare is some in Manitoba in the coming year is $6 billion. That's 40% of all of the spending. Does the system need more money?
I think it needs more information and interaction about how we can use the money that we have and the resources we have more effectively. We need to figure out how we can empower people, patients, clients, people in the community to live better, to live healthier, and we have to figure out how to get healthcare providers to be engaged in that process in a conversation, not just bandaging things up, patching things up after the damage is done. We have to figure out how to make it better.
And Bob, what's your initial reaction to the idea that do we need more money?
Well, it's not necessarily, in my view, about the money. The workers that I talk to, and in my experience, is there are significant shortages of frontline healthcare workers in the province. And that's indicated by a lot of our wait lists. You know, how long it takes to receive an MRI, or how long a lab test may take to come back to get results. So, in my view, it's not only about the money. It's about what we could do best with it in order to make sure that we're staffed in a way that we can provide the services that Manitobans need.
So I'm going to stay with the money just for a moment, because it sort of it draws us into this. Are there savings to be found? Like, when you hear as a front care worker, savings, what does that even mean to you?
Well, I worry that people are just going to get fired and no longer have the adequate infrastructure to look after care. On the other hand, there are ways of saving by spending money. For example, in the areas that we're interested in, our community health programs downtown and in the big hospitals as well, we look at things like HIV and hepatitis C. Those things cost a lot of money to treat. However, if we spent the money to provide, let's say, free HIV medicines for everyone and treat everyone with hepatitis C with medicines that will actually cure it, we can decrease the burden of those things in the community. So a little bit of upfront money to get those things out of the way, we get everyone on treatment for HIV, we can decrease the rates of new HIV infections and save a ton of money downstream.
So
but a lot of it's downstream.
Prevention efforts and more money being put
absolutely.
Into those efforts, whether it's around that or other examples.
Absolutely.
Now, Bob, I know your group represents lab techs, physiotherapists, pharmacists, for example, as well.
And many more.
Yeah. So what can you tell me about the idea of review fatigue?
Well, review fatigue is something that I have no idea if it's an actual term, but it's something that I use. People have been in healthcare for a number of years. We've seen many, many reviews that happen. There are member engagement surveys and all sorts of things. And often the members on the ground see very, very little change, or that the input that they do provide, and in some cases enthusiastically provide, never seems to go anywhere. So if you keep asking me my advice and you never take it, eventually I'm going to be less interested in providing my advice.
So what is going to make this a meaningful discussion to actually make the system better moving forward, would you say?
I think a review like this needs to be able to treat the people who are providing the advice as real human beings. As Dr. Gillen said, you know, you have to almost treat the whole patient. You have to give them the ability to manage their own care. Our people, in many cases, are brilliant and beautifully dedicated to the work they do. So you need to treat them as human beings and as highly educated professionals that they are, and listen to them.
So what's needed for those professionals, and I'm just going to turn back to Dr. Dillon for a moment, what's needed for those professionals, in your point of view, to to be part of a more efficient system because we have so many challenges that we all know about.
Well, I've been privileged to have the greatest job I could possibly have. For 20 years, I've been working in a community health center in downtown Winnipeg. We're a network of professionals that link up to each other. We have nurse practitioners, nurses, dietitians, social workers, but we're also connected with community members, community activists. Part of our mandate is to work on community development and education. And I think this is a key thing. I see my role as much as an educator and a health translator as I do as a doctor pushing pills. I actually hate pushing pills. And what I think is really important, and I'm just going to pick up on something that Bob said, is that we need to engage people in the concept of health literacy. And this ties in other things, such as people can't be literate and informed about their health care if they don't have a good, safe place to live and food on their table. So it ties in with other departments. We can't have a conversation with people if they aren't literate in English or French or another language where they can actually talk to their healthcare provider. So that ties in with education. We need to teach kids in school at very early levels how to be literate, how to look at information that's on the internet, how to understand science and math. So when I can talk to them about the statistical chances of you getting this if we do this, they have an idea what I'm talking about. And a lot of it is just empowering people to do something called Choosing Wisely Canada, which is basically going to their healthcare providers and saying, do I actually need this? Do I actually need this MRI? And with due deference to the idea of waiting lists for MRIs, some of my professional colleagues who work in, let's say, the rehabilitation hospital say, I don't order MRIs unless I'm absolutely convinced that that person is willing to have a surgery for their back pain. And I think it's reasonable for them to do it. So a lot of times we have to say, do I actually need this? But that's a conversation we have to be engaged in with our patients.
Bob, as the province is going to do this, reaching out to frontline workers, what do you really hope gets attention and doesn't get missed if you have to just sort of highlight sort of one thing in some detail?
Well, I certainly think it is the level of staffing required, not only to maintain what we have now because we are so short, but to actually to enhance the service that we're able to provide. And that means, like I said earlier, listening to them and treating me like I'm a professional and listen to my advice. If you have a moment for an example, it's a great story from a member who realized that a certain technologist in cardiology, they would go to a ward and do a portable test with their machine, but they would have to go back to their home base and plug their machine in with a fax line in order to download the results. So we've had a brilliant engineer realize this one day, said, wait a minute, if we could put some sort of a Wi-Fi connection on this machine and maybe upgrade the machine, now we're not spending, 20 minutes per test walking back and forth to our home base. And it saved all sorts of money. It increased the output. That technologist was able to do more testing in a day. It's things like that that are brilliantly simple that people just need to, open their ears and give us the chance.
And ultimately that connects back to me or other patient, maybe loved one sitting in the room going, why is it taking so long? And you say fax line and I go, really? Lots of examples like that. Thank you, Will, for starting the discussion. I'd love to have you back another time. And for this morning, thank you so much. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you for having us.
That is Dr. Mike Dillon, Medical Director at Clinic Community Health, and Bob Morose, Radiation Therapist. He heads up the Manitoba Association of Healthcare Professionals. If you are a healthcare professional and you want to weigh in, what would you tell the Premier has to be front and center in this review to make things better in Manitoba? Please weigh in online or call us at 788-3205. Here's Heather Wells now with developing headlines for your Tuesday, June the 7th. Good